garden, you better watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon for the sitting there sack. If you walk with Jesus, he'll save your soul. You gotta keep the devil down in the hole. All the angels sing about Jesus' mighty soul. Keep the devil way down in the hole. Way down in the hole. Way down in the hole. Way down in the hole.
Listening to Baltimore is talking live. I'm your host, Reverend Dr. Q. Co-host here is Aaron Green. Say hello, Green.
Hello, everybody. Hello, how are you doing?
And today is Couples Tuesday. So what we talk about is relationships, dating, things you can do in the pair, things you can do in the couple. It's like the $25 million pyramid. When they give clues and things, they things you do in the couple. Boom. And they rotate the board and go to the next thing. So one of the things today that I saw was kind of crazy. We were at the Walmart. I gotta stop going to this Walmart. We're at the Walmart and the cashier sees you got 20 people in line. Lady got two carts for the groceries and pet monkeys for kids. When I say pet monkeys, I'm saying she got one baby in her arm, another one climbing around her neck, one of them standing on the cart inside the part where you're supposed to sit down, standing up in there. One on the ground, pulling at the her pocketbook. And then the cashier says, lane 5, 15 items or less. Lane 5, 15 items or less. So I know I got damn near 20 or 25. I'm not getting out of line. So the lady says, But I got two carts full. I got two carts full. She said, well, I'm only going to ring up 15. So we sitting there. Now, you know, I didn't have nobody with me to keep me anchored. So I started to float away. I said, look, this is what we're going to do. Since you only going to ring up 15 things, ring up the 15 things, push your cart through so I can get my stuff out of here because I got a radio show to do today. And he can't hold me up. It's like 5-something. I try to be where I got to be by 5:30 or 6 o'clock. And his, well, you can't go through without the stuff being rung up. I said, well, whose problem is that? You said you're not going to ring it up, so it's free. Go on out. 15 items are left. I said, you're going to suck our teeth and then run the stuff through the scanner in a hurry, like that's hurting somebody. She should have been doing that in the get-go, pushing it through. Instead of going, boo, boo, I'd be all day, I'd be dead. Sound like a heartbeat at a hospital. So she got so mad, all you hear was, that's what she should have been doing all along. So ain't hurting me nothing, you helping the process. And I'm not going to say where it's at because I don't want nobody to go down there complaining to the people and give them a hard time.
Now, some say that's why the people were shooting at the Walmart in El Paso, you know, although it might have been said as a tongue-in-cheek joke, I don't condone shooting innocent people, you know, saying that for those that deserve some shooting, like some of these people that's been in jail for over 20-something years. You know, if you have become a monument, that you've been in jail so long that the warden who's there now doesn't know who you are, that means you've been there for a while. Most of the prisons come in after the warden got there. If you were already there before the warden got there, you've been there a while. How many presidents have you seen since you've been incarcerated? Oh, I've seen about 9 presidents. You've been there too long. 9 times 4, that's about 36 years. Nah. I say, if you like Demolition Man, put him in the freezer, and hopefully nobody forget to unthaw you, and that'll save up a lot of space. Put him in the warehouse somewhere, hook him up to the little thing, and when it's time to come out, set the date for him to come out, and then just thaw out on that date, unless there's a power failure or something. That way you don't cheat the system. Because a lot of times, look at, not Gary Sandusky, Paterno. He was found guilty in the sex scandal, and he died before he could serve some time. So what you getting out of that? I ain't getting nothing out of that. That's why I said I can't be president, because I believe in fullest extent of the law. If you did something and the judge gave you 55 years and now you went to jail at 60 and you couldn't pull off your 55 years because you done died at 65, somebody in your family owed me 50 years. So let's go down the family tree and see who the next of kin. Your wife? Okay, come on, wife. You owe me 55 years. You owe me 50 years because your husband only did 5. She died 10 years then. Okay. Your daughter, your son? Heads or tails? Okay. One of y'all owe me 40 years. And if the justice was done like that, it wouldn't be no crime. Back in the olden days, everybody's responsible for the hands, feet, and deeds of feminine. You had people in the tales of Aladdin that the knights were chasing after them because of something that the brother had done. They're going to get you. You know, they just chase you because your brother did something wrong. Yeah. And if we have that kind of accountability, that's the answer. That's the key. Death penalty, threat, and accountability for your time. I want all, if the judge gave you 5 years, I want all my 55 years. Don't give me no, you want to do 20 years to help with your time. Nope, he don't need no help. He didn't have no help when he got indicted, so he don't need no help to do the time. Lastly, I was at the laundromat Saturday. I think it was Saturday for the Repo Man came. And, I said, wow, why are these women sissifying their children? My sister said, what? I said, sissifying. What's that mean? Making him into a sissy. Oh, you need to stop. You need to stop. Somebody might hear you. I said, I don't care who hears. She needs to hear me. She got the boy looked like he about 5 years old pushing the stroller with the baby in the stroller. And she carrying an empty basket for the laundry. I said to myself, damn, that's backwards there. He need to be carrying the basket, and she need to be pushing the stroller. He ain't had no baby. So he comes in pushing the stroller, and he looking like a baby version of Little Richard. I said, oh, Lord, I should have sissified the boy.
where he probably sitting home changing diapers, reading to the baby, and probably feeding him with the milk bottle. And his eyes was long, had long eyelashes like the first model for Maybelline. I said, oh, he's grow up thinking that this is normal. And there's nothing normal about that, pushing the stroller at 5 or 6 years old. It's like instead of you having children, you giving birth to the hell. Oh, I can't wait till I'm going to have 5 or 6 children so one of them can do the dishes, one of them can wash the baby. That's what you're having. You're having the help. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be having children, not supposed to be having the help. And you know what happened in the help. One of them made one of them pies and put some poop in there. So you better be careful for the children to do that to you since you're having the help. I got some pie for you, Mommy. Oh, you got some pie for Mama? Who's that cake? That tastes familiar. Same thing happened for Porky's, but instead of poop, it was something else. And that cracked me up, Porky's, because the nurse, it's like Porky's 1 and 2, the girl's coach, always know what pee tastes like. You know, back then, before you had all this censorship, that was something funny. Now things are so technical and so obscene that you can't talk about it. Comedy, you think of scanning to tell a joke. But I said, how is it that a joke is obscene, something that just an expression of comedy and fun and laughter, but the drag queen not obscene? We used to see the drag queen and say, oh, that's a female impersonator. Now you see the drag queen and you say, oh, that's a contestant for RuPaul's Drag Race. You know, now things have changed, but it's still the same thing. Drag is drag. And you know what the two letters that's missing on a drag, the O-N, you know, you keep on messing with a drag and turn to a dragon. So on my way here to do the show, I got pulled over by the popo. He said, you know you're driving a rental car? I said, yes, I do. Well, where's your regular car? I said, not here. Well, where is it? I said, I don't know where it is, so I got a rental car. Well, I have reason to believe this car is stolen. I have reason to believe you're not a real cop. Well, you stay right here, and I'll be right back. I said, you stay right here, and I'll be right back. And I drove away. So I don't know what that was about, but you know, I went to my sister's house to tell her about it just in case I gotta get the attorney. And it might have been state police. I don't know. How would you know if it's stolen or not if you never asked me for the rental agreement that goes in the glove box? I think it's somebody who knows me from the show, and they just want to pick with me for what I said about the popo, you know, how they got to get out, walk a beat, and do the job. So anyway, we're going to go to the birthday announcement, take a quick break, then we're going to bring up the hot seat with Ms. Deborah Cooper. Somebody told me that she told them that her name was spelled wrong and told Kennedy to fix it. So I asked somebody, I said, well, who's Kennedy? I don't know nobody named Kennedy. And I hope they ain't come with the president, because if you come with President Kennedy, it'll never get changed. So Cody says, oh, that's Miss Sanchez. She always calls me Kennedy, but his name is Cody. I said, oh, well, who's Miss Sanchez? And he said, the temp lady that answers the phone and checks the email, the mail lady. I said, oh, I always call her Miss Suarez. I thought that was her name. So everybody working together don't know who nobody is. She probably don't even know who I am. Oh, boy. So lines are open, folks. 917-889-8825. 917-889-8825. We do have some time for Ask Dr. Q later on in the show, so I will get around to your emails and your questions and comments. Hopefully the handwriting not too bad, and the spelling not too worse. But I will be able to read them live and in person. So if you got those birthday announcements for me, let me hear them. Here we go.
Okay.
I don't know what that says. Happy birthday to C-H-I-E-B-E-R-L-Y Qualisa. She barely Qualisa. Ricardo Fritz. Rayshawn Lawrence.
Finish him.
All right, you finished. So keep it locked when you got it, folks. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Aaron Green and the Hot Seat. You're listening to Baltimore is Talking Live. We'll be back in 2 and 2.
Here's to choice, to making your voice be heard, to getting exactly what you want, especially when you eat. At Subway restaurants, you choose your freshly baked bread, meat, cheese, and veggies to make a sub that's just right for you. Come in and create yours today. Subway, eat fresh.
The King Serve people is new $1 crispy taco.
Burger King taco. I didn't know they made tacos.
It's super crispy.
It definitely hits the spot. It's a flavorful taco.
You mean to tell me it's only a dollar?
Talk about a surprise. It's Burger King's new $1 crispy taco. Only at Burger King. Talk about a surprise. It's Burger King's new $1 crispy taco. Pretty much everything you'd expect in a taco, but it's from Burger King. And it's just a dollar. Only at Burger King.
Thank
Hello, everybody. Welcome to One More Sucker Live with Ernie Green and Matthew Q. My guest today gained Linda Brown acclaim through her almost 20-year career relationship advice counseling, consulting seminars, workshops in the San Francisco Bay Area, and as a producer and host of Heartbeats, a cable talk show. And a cable talk show in Cleveland, California. She is a guest, one of the guests, at Plant Channel KMEL 106.1 Radio, and weekly columnist on AOL Net Memoir Channel. Our guest has been featured in Black Enterprise Magazine and interviewed for CNN, Ebony, Jet, Essence, Honey, Yahoo, and Internet Life, and Downtown Oakland Magazine, The Dallas Morning News, the Oakland Tribune, and countless of print and online media. Also, she has us as Sucker Free Love, a boy, 24 types. That's cool. We talk a lot about new guests.
I'm here.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. I can barely
you
hear
doing?
You, though.
Really?
Yeah, you were coming real low when you were doing your intro.
Yeah, it's just my mic a little bit. Sorry about that. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, all right. Welcome to Bowman Stuck Alive, Deborah.
Well, thank you.
I have checked out some of your stuff on YouTube since it's Tuesday. Tell the audience what the fuck Tuesday is, dating and relationship advice and questions. How did that come about?
Oh, you know, for years I've been doing my advice column in written form on my blogs and websites. And what I decided to do was kind of change with the times. People still enjoy reading, so there's still like over 1,000 articles up online. But I took my my advice into the multimedia presentation, which seems to be much more popular. So I moved everything over to YouTube, and it's a visual and auditory medium. And I could show examples, slides, movie, you know, video clips, all kinds of things.
And yes, I watch, I think, one of the segments on there, and it's very entertaining, stuff. You got me laughing all through the day.
Now, that's the goal. I want people to get information, you know, but I don't want to deliver it in a way that's boring and dry. I want them to learn and find it entertaining and humorous. And, you know, I want them to enjoy the experience of learning.
Yes, yes, indeed. I really enjoyed it. I got into this business of relationship counseling and advice. How you got into this business?
Total accident, actually. I was working at doing an internship in college, and it was the day that we had to, you know, our deadline day, and the woman who was doing the advice column walked in about noon, our deadline was 4, and said that she was moving out of state and getting married, and that was that, and she cleaned out her desk and left. So they were like, oh, no,
wow.
What are we going to do about the column? And I said, oh, I can do it. And here I am, you know, 19 years old, and they all looked at me like I was crazy, like, what do you know? You're still a kid. But I did the column, and I did so well, people, you know, really liked it. So the rest of the time I was in school, I did that advice column.
Wow. That story sounds very interesting.
Yeah, and that's so, you know, I mean, it's kind of a fluke how I got into it, but I had a lot of information and knowledge that had been shared with me from my uncles and my dad and my grandpa. So I, you know, it wasn't like, I mean, yeah, I was 19 years old, but I had knowledge from people that were way, way older than me.
Wow. Was it good advice?
Pardon me?
Was it good advice?
Well, I thought it was good. You know, I mean, they kept making, the people would write in and they would say it was good. And so that's why they kept me on doing, you know, kept me on to do the column for the rest of the years I was in school.
Did anybody come to you and say you give good advice? Or did anybody come to you and say, what are you talking about? You ruined my relationship.
No, they've never said I ruined the relationship. But what I have heard from people is, you know, when I tell people things, I tell them from a position of what is in their best interest, and it may not be what they want to hear. And you know how that's the hard, that's really difficult for some people. If they're not ready to let go, then they're really only asking advice in a rhetorical way. They don't really want to make a change. They're not ready yet. So they would get angry at what I told them to do. And they would say that, but then in several different cases, I've gotten letters back later where people say, you know, when I calmed down, I realized that you were right. Or after I dealt with this fool for another year or two, I realized I should have just listened to you in the first place. That kind of thing. So, yeah, I get those kind of letters.
Oh, wow. And look like it works, because I'm seeing most of your stuff and the people that told you little questions, you were like, oh my goodness, what are these people telling you questions about? Didn't you get shocked when people would tell you some of these questions about ships?
You're fading out. I can't really hear you.
Do you ever get shocked when people tell you these little questions about relationships?
Oh, every week I'm shocked. Every Tuesday. Every time I think I've seen it or heard it all, something new comes across my desk. And, I have to say every week I'm kind of sitting there like, what? How in the world? What were you thinking? Or how? Where does this happen? That kind of thing.
Oh, wow. Must have felt Phil
Jay,
tell me about your book,
Second
Free Love. What's that all about?
Oh, that, the first one, Second Free Love, the dumb, how to avoid manhood, dumb, deceitful, dastardly, dysfunctional, and deranged. That one is a collection of my early advice letters divided by category, because those columns aren't online anymore. And, you know, they each chapter has a different theme, like, you know, accepting somebody for what they are, self-esteem, you know, making poor choices, that kind of thing. So they're divided up. But it's hilarious, but again, very informative. And the second book in that series is The 24 Types of Suckers to Avoid. And it talks about the different types of men that a woman should steer clear from.
Okay. What does that be about men? What about women? You know, women sometimes just have things.
My audience is 90% female, so I don't really write books for men.
Do you want to?
Well, I could. I mean, I've made some videos about, you know, behaviors that men could improve on, coming from the perspective of, you know, what women, the problems women have with them,
or
that kind of thing. But as far as writing a whole book, no.
I'm kind of saying, like, you know, I think sometimes men get a bad rap.
Pardon me?
I think men do get a bad rap on dating. I mean, there are the guys out there, you know, because some girls do treat men very shitty, in their ways. So, it's kind of a question because, you know, it's never two-sided. Never one side, it's only two-sided story between men and women. You know, men and women are very different.
Of course they're different. Otherwise, the people would be gay. But what? And I don't handle gay relationships. My market is heterosexual. So I expect them to be different. But that isn't really my forte. I repeat, I do not do things for men. There's dozens, probably hundreds of dozens of channels that handle the male market. There's like a big website called AskMen.com. And that's all that they do is deal with men and men's issues. So.
Okay. Can you tell me what is Dusty is?
I just put a video out about that to define what a Dusty is. And it's kind of a catch-all term for a guy who likes to be irresponsible, a blame shifter, someone who doesn't hold up his end of the relationship or even on jobs. There are people that complain about guys like that. They're pretty shiftless. They're the ones who won't keep a job, always borrowing money from people, you know, want to live on some woman, that kind of thing.
Like a buster?
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, God. Okay. All right. Tell me about your workshops. You do a lot of workshops. What you do in your workshops? In your seminars?
Pardon me?
Tell me about your workshops and your seminars.
I haven't done any for a while. Since I've been on YouTube, I haven't really done any. I did, I think, two webinars. But, you know, I'm changing my work style because of, you know, everything is done on the web these days. So, yeah, people still have workshops and things, but not with the frequency that we used to see them, like in the 90s. Now people have webinars, so that's what I do. The last one I did was on self-esteem, building self-esteem for women, and that was about a year ago.
Okay. Do you know, self-esteem for women is very, very hard in this day and age, especially when you grow older and you look at, you know, the other females and you look at yourself and you look at someone.
I can't really hear you. You're going in and out.
Can you hear me?
Well, you were fading in and out. I couldn't really hear you.
Like I said again, self-esteem is one of the problems. Upkeep and worry about the steam should be worth more. You hear me?
Not really. I heard you say, "Can you hear me?" That came through very clear. Everything you said before that, I didn't hear you. I'm getting like some feedback sound too.
Yeah, I think that's the other my Dr. Q. Basically, what I'm saying about self-esteem in females is one of the things that they work on. You need to work on sometimes.
Absolutely.
It gets very depressing with, you know, upkeep values, and some females don't have the means to upkeep themselves, you know, and it needs self-esteem classes to keep, tell females to upkeep this. You can be pretty, you can have to show up for no man, you can be pretty by yourself, you know?
Well, I have found from my position that low self-esteem is pretty much an epidemic in this country, and it's not limited to females. Males are just suffer from it, but they do it in a different way. Their low self-esteem is projected as jealousy, controlling behaviors, and violence. Whereas with women, they tend to take it out on themselves. and they talk about themselves as I'm not good enough. She's prettier than me. You know, I don't measure up in some way. There's women tend to attack themselves and men tend to attack other people. So, but they both are suffering from a lack of confidence and a lack of self-esteem. I can't hear you.
Can't hear you. Got to speak up.
I mean, is his mouth too far away from the mic?
At times, he's in outer space.
Posting. Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead with the question.
Hello?
I'm here.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now I hear. Now I can.
Tell me about ghosting. Why are we going to ghost women so much?
Oh, you know, that's the latest thing. I think in our society has changed so much with, you know, because back in the 90s when I first got online, internet dating was looked at kind of like, what? You know, only losers do that. And, you know, newspaper ads were still popular and people still went to events to meet other singles. Now everything's online. Once again, everything's digital. And I think what's happened is we've become so, you know, we want instant gratification. We want everything to happen like right now.
Right
and
away.
So when people get acquainted online, you know, that's not the whole story. That's why I always kind of tell people, even if you do feel like you connect with someone online, until you're offline in the real world and meet that person, you don't know if there's that missing ingredient called chemistry is there or not. So people might waste a week or two or even longer talking on the phone and texting this person and getting all excited about meeting them, and then when they actually meet, there's nothing. It's just dead. So they don't really know what to do with that. So yeah, and it's really hard. I think a lot of people aren't that assertive enough to say, well, you know, I'm really disappointed. I was hoping that this would be something that we could continue, but you know, now that we've actually met, I don't feel anything, and so you know, this is the end. Good luck on your search, kind of thing. They don't feel comfortable saying that, so they just disappear. They just don't call you back. They don't text, and they just drop off communication. Sometimes on those personal sites, they'll even block you because they just don't know what to do. So that has become, unfortunately, very common.
And very sad, too. Very sad. Kind of a little self-esteem issue with ghosting somebody because you're scared to talk to that person up front about how you feel, but you don't want to say anything, basically.
Well, you know, there are justifications for that in some instances because of the way that men respond to rejection. For women's safety, sometimes it's better to just do that or to, you know, tell them over the phone or by text or something, because some guys, not saying this is you or even anybody that you know, but there's too many news reports of it. When these guys get rejected, they lose it, and they want to attack the woman. And, you know, some of these women have ended up dead. So it's very, you know, the sister, young sister got shot in Chicago. You know, she was with her man and her family, and the dude just would not leave her alone, and he ended up shooting her and her boyfriend. The boyfriend lived, but the young lady died because she wouldn't give him her phone number. So, you know, when you don't really understand what you're dealing with, you know, rejection, some guys just aren't wrapped too tight. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. So, you know, I think in some instances women feel it's safer to just do the ghosting thing. And I personally, understanding, you know, what's going on and the dynamics of it, I don't have a problem with it when people do that. I know it may not be the way that they really want things to end, but you got to realize if you've only talked to somebody on the phone or by text or whatever, you don't have a relationship with that person. That ain't your woman, that ain't your man. So they don't really owe you anything. So, you know, if they don't want to talk to you anymore, just get over it, move on. Just, you know, let it go. But some people just really struggle. They don't seem to be able to do that.
Yes, indeed, indeed. And it's kind of sad that some men do get over emotional where everything else. And in the day and age, nobody can deal with rejection. As, you know, just walk away and find someone else to just basically just, you know, take it out on somebody. You can't do that nowadays. But let's just stop here. Take a quick break, and we'll be right back when our guest in the hot seat, Deborah Cooper. This is Baltimore's Talking Live with Iron Green and Dr. Q. And if you have any questions to say to our guest, feel free to ask. The number is 917-889-8825. Once again, that is 887-917-889-8825. This is Baltimore's Talking Live. And also, the number, press 1 to talk, to speak. Okay? It's Baltimore's Talking Live. Thanks for listening.
And when we come back, we have three callers waiting. When we come back from commercial break, we'll take those calls. So we'll be right back in 2 and 2.
Omelets or pancakes? You used to have to flip a coin, but not anymore. Because for a limited time, all 10 of our hearty omelets now come with unlimited pancakes. Which means this coin doesn't have to choose anymore.
What? I don't have to choose anymore? Ha! Later, choosers! I'm free!
Choose not to choose. Over 10 omelets now come with unlimited pancakes.
Oh.
At IHOP.
Hello, everybody. This is Baltimore's Talking Live with Dr. Q and Aaron Green, and I guess in the hot seat with Deborah Cooper. You said, Dr. Q, after the break, we got callers?
Yeah, you got 3 callers in the queue. Go ahead and take the first one.
Okay, caller, welcome to Baltimore's Talking Live. Can I have your name and where you're calling from?
Well, this is Pianchi. I was listening to the conversation. And doing some work. But I was going to tell Ms. Cooper, if you want to lay it out on the table, the big problem, and we're talking about black society, there's too many instances where you don't have any for real. You got males, but they aren't men.
No argument from me.
One of the things you can look at is the way the community is running buckwild. In a functional community with men, the males wouldn't be running buck wild like that. That instance where you said that this guy was trying to get a phone number from this woman who was with another man, he would have been afraid to do that. Not from retaliation of the police, but retaliation of the community itself. And the economic rape and exploitation that goes on in black society. Good men in other countries don't allow that either. Now, when you have that much dysfunction going on, well, I don't really know what to tell you. Because the way society is structured today, it protects that type of behavior. If I could borrow a word, it protects that type of righteousness. And, you know, those that is appalled of it, sooner or later, we'll run from it and hopefully end up in a situation, environment of their own and like kind. So if there's no men, then the males is going to run buck wild the way they're doing.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Next caller, welcome to Baltimore's Talking Live. Okay, your name and where you're calling from? For our guest, Deborah Cooper. Hello, caller?
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. Okay. But go back to Ms. Cooper. I'm not getting
into
town.
Maybe they're shy.
Okay.
But I do want to invite people who, you know, wanted to hear. So, because, you know, you heard it, Aaron. I would like to invite people who want to hear the advice column. I'll be on later today. Let's see. Hold on a second. I've got to do the mental calculations from coast to coast. Okay. So it's going to be 9 o'clock your time.
Okay.
Yeah. At 9 your time. I'll be on doing that very show that we talked about earlier.
Okay. And I'll be waiting. I'll be waiting too. Give me something about the whole test. I know that. Have you watched Insecure lately?
No, I don't have cable. I don't watch television at all.
Oh God. I was going to say about that show versus this segment. The whole test. Tell us about that.
Well, I wrote that article. Wow, I wrote that article back in 99 or so, 98. So it's been going from blog to blog with me. But what it basically outlines is lets women know that a man is going to test you, even if he's a good guy. He's going to test you to make sure that you're solid before he puts all his trust and heart and money and everything in you. The other kind of guys will test you to see how weak you are and what they can use you for and how easy you are to manipulate. So in each instance, I was just letting these young girls know you should expect that a man is going to run some kind of test on you. And not only should you be expecting those, you should be running some on him as well, because there is no way you just go walking into something blindly, not in these days, and think that everything that you see on the surface is what really is there. People are very good at hiding who and what they are and their issues.
Yes, especially online dating. I mean, I remember a friend who did online dating, and they did like a fake profile and tell them about who they are, and when they come to meet him, he was married. He was single in the profile, but when you come to meet him, he was married. He had two baby mamas and something
goodness.
Else. And I'm like, wow, why do you lie about that? And it's like in the days of catfishing and everything else, I think people should take that advice. The catfish craze is getting played out. It should have been canceled. I mean, everybody knows what to do and what not to do, but some people feel duped by the guy who basically wants his cake and eat too, like King Solomon. King Solomon has many wives. Every dude wants to be King Solomon. Some dudes want to be King Solomon sometimes.
Yeah, I don't understand all that. I just, you know, my life is so busy trying to do positive, productive things. I don't even have time to do everything I'm trying to do that's good. I don't have time for silly stuff like that. And I look at people who do, and I think you really need some hobbies. You need a second job, perhaps a third. You need something to do with yourself that makes sense. This is just ridiculous. I just don't understand that kind of waste of time and energy.
Yes, indeed. It's kind of like you're just playing games. Never look somebody that's serious, you know?
Unbelievable.
And speaking of serious, in our segment, we talk about interracial couples. Do you know why white men are afraid to approach black women?
Well, I asked that question on my channel because I have a video about that. And I also was a keynote speaker at an interracial relationships conference a couple of years ago and was talking to people there as well. And it just seems like, you know, they watch television and they assume that what they see actresses do in a sitcom or in a movie that is totally scripted is real, and that is how black women really are. And I'm just looking at them like these allegedly intelligent individuals thinking, okay, you can't tell the difference between real life and what's on TV. That was kind of scary. Then on some other kids, they say, well, you know, I don't think that they would be interested in me. And see, again, the low self-esteem and lack of confidence. And it's like, why not? Mm-hmm. I mean, the way I am, I know I'm a little short lady. I'm older and stuff. But you know what? That when I go out in the street, I think that everybody's interested in me because I'm a fabulous person. Who wouldn't be interested in me? I'm funny. Mm-hmm. I'm intelligent. And I'm cute. That's a trifecta of greatness. So it's like, you know, that's how my mind works. So when I see people who say that they think people wouldn't like them and wouldn't be interested in them and they would be bored with them and, you know, I don't even know what to say. It's like they've already assigned themselves failure before they even got in the game. So when I see that, you know, it's very unfortunate because to me, people match well based more on their socioeconomic level than they do race. And so if you have a woman, a black woman or black man who's been educated at Harvard and this and that, blah, 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 well, they're going to match better with somebody who has that kind of background and is in that social circle. That's just the way it is. And the fact, you know, the person's color is secondary. So I just really am kind of astonished that, you know, in 2019, people are still thinking that way. But that's what they have expressed to me is this basically is fear of being rejected because of their whiteness. No other reason.
Yes, indeed. Wow. Wow, that's pretty fascinating. It's pretty fascinating. I'm sorry. We have a caller. Welcome to Bowman Talking Live. Can you name and where you're calling from? Caller? Hello, caller?
Hey, you talking to me?
Yeah. Can you name where you're calling from?
I already spoke. I talked about the lack of men, remember?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Deonki. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fine.
You have any questions? Okay, no more questions?
No, I was just listening. I don't have any more questions.
Okay. Let me continue on. Deborah, I got a question for you. My friend has become a father, and he has a daughter, but he's scared to raise his daughter. Because I have sons, and he's telling me questions about how to raise children, but I don't know how to raise daughters, and he's scared how to raise his daughter. Do you have any advice for him?
How old is the little girl?
He's expecting a daughter.
So we're talking like a new baby.
Yeah. And so okay. Like he's worried about her growing up and, you know, it's one of the most dad's fears about having a daughter, I think, you know, that stigma of fear.
Well, there's no stigma. I mean, it's the matter of, you know, what I can tell him is you are your daughter's first love. You are going to be the standard by which she judges every other man that comes into her life. So if you a screw up, don't say nothing when she gets with screw up dudes, because she's going to be modeling how you did. And I think a lot of men don't understand that. Their daughters look up to them. My first word was my first sentence was, I want my daddy. It's recorded in my baby book. Me and that man was like Ace Boon Coon. And it was the kind of thing like, you know, when I have a standard for what I expect a man to be and how to conduct himself in the world and to his work ethic and how he treats his family, it's all based on how I saw my father model those things for us, for my brothers and I. And so that, I think, is the most important thing, the concept that he needs to consider. And then do everything that you can to talk to your daughter, educate her on what's going on out here in the world. Do not try to keep her all, you know, protected and innocent and stuff, because that's like making her a sitting duck. You need to let her know what's really going on. And then do what you can to protect her. You know, it's something as simple as if you're supposed to pick her up from school on a certain day and it's kind of a rough neighborhood and you know that, be there early so that she doesn't have to stand around and be dealing with knuckleheads waiting for you to show up. Be there early so she can go straight out the building and get right in the car. that kind of thing, little things like that, being cognizant of your daughter's safety and the risk and dangers, especially these days for teenage girls, of you know, with all the sex trafficking going on and abductions.
Yes.
That's very key.
Yes. Yes, indeed, indeed. And, you know, I'm talking about that because, you know, when it comes to dads, I think that some dads wanted boys, but when you come to a daughter, it's a much more hard task. But I'm sorry, the music is come to a close.
Oh, okay, not a problem.
Visit
me on my YouTube channel. It's Depsterism, youtube.com/Depsterism.
Yes. A website, anything else?
SurvivingDating.com.
Okay, all right. Thanks for coming, Ms. Deborah, and come again.
Okay, Aaron, you take care.
You too,
Dr. Q.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. That's Deborah Cooper, ladies and gentlemen. Deborah Cooper. Also, check our YouTube channel. It's chock full of goodness. I wish we could have more time to talk about how to avoid a boring-ass man. And also, one of our other segments, your bitch-ass mama. Yeah, so. But anyway, I hope you enjoy that. We'll take a break and be back with dead white people and dead black people. And if you got any questions to say, by Chianchi, you came back twice. Got your hair on back. Feel free to ask. Number is 917-889-8825. Once again, that is 917-889-8825. Call the line, press 1 to speak. Okay? We'll be back in a moment to pay some bills. This is Baltimore's Talking Live with Dr. Q and Iron Green. Thanks for listening.
What's the matter with your life? Why you gotta mess with mine? Don't keep sweating what I do, cause I'm gonna be just fine. Check it out. If I wanna take a guy home with me tonight. Nothing to do, then worry about my friends. Check it, I can't do nothing, girl, without somebody bugging. I used to think that it was me, but now I see it wasn't. They told me to change and call me names, and so I popped one. Opinions are like assholes, and everybody's got one. I never poke my nose where I'm not supposed to. Believe me, if it's something that I want, I'm stepping closer. I'm not one for playing high pole, like the Hossa Diddy 90210 type of hoe. I treat a man like he treats me. The difference between a hooker and a hoe ain't nothing but a feat. So hold your tongue tightly. You're popping all that mess only to stress and to spite me. Now you could get with that or you could get with this, but I don't give a shit, cause really it's none of your business.
1993, S&P, packing and macking, bamboozling and smacking suckers with this track and go to be back in.
If I wanna take a guy home with me tonight,
none of your business.
And if she wanna be a freaking, sell it on the weekend,
none of your business.
Now you shouldn't even get into who I'm giving skin.
To break before you understand that your double standards don't mean shit to me. I know exactly what you say when I turn and walk away, but that's okay cause I don't let it get to me. Now every move I make, somebody's clocking, so ask me nothing, will you just leave me alone? Never mind who's the guy that I took home to bone.
Okay, Miss Thing never giving up skins. If you don't like him or his friends, what about that Benz? Your pet pep's got an ill rep with all that macaroni trap for rap, you better step. On a boulevard, my face ain't scarred, and I don't dance in bars. You can call me a tramp if you want to, but I remember the punk who just humped and dumped you. Or you can front if you have to, but everybody gets horny just like you. So
none of your business. If I wanna take a guy home with me tonight, judge. There's only one true judge, and that's God. So chill and let my father do his job.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Baltimore's Talking Live with Dr. Q and Erin Green. Also, you said at the Q you got some letters from Ask the Q?
Yeah, I can get to those after the segment, Dear White People, Dear Black People.
Okay. You go ahead first.
You got some Dear White People? Oh, I'm going first? Oh, okay.
No, I do. Hold up, I do. Do that. dear white people, don't, God, don't think that every time you hear Trump, does it mean that it's true. What was that? Yeah. And I heard people, you know, reading his tweets, and they're white people, and people believing everything that he said is true. It's not true, number one. People are following on him on Twitter, which is kind of freaking dumb, and everything else. They're white people. And this is good for the baby boomers out there. Don't blame everything on the virus. Don't blame movies. Stop blaming everything. Everything's about it. I'm going to do my segments on the blame game. Who's to blame? And I see a lot of people are blaming entertainment for the violent shootings that are going on. And you're trying to get back up with science, and when the people of entertainment speak up, you say no. And you blame on the real target that is yourselves. Dear white people, stop being racist when somebody's on welfare. Doesn't mean that all black people are on welfare. I was in the store myself too. I'm with my wife. My wife stays in a car. She don't like to stay in a freaking car. She wants to stay in lines because it annoys the hell out of her. And we saw these two people coming with big carts of food. I know it because they're first of the month. You know, the white people, the black people get their welfare card and they fill up, get two carts full of food, like they feed the army. And, you know, one person said, they are on welfare. And actually, the person was not on welfare. Actually, the person was trying to help out the homeless in a soup kitchen. Because every time we see, you know, black people with two big carts of food and fools and noodles and everything else, people describe them as, you know, a welfare, and it's not. So that's my good white people. You go with the Q.
Oh, it's on me?
Yeah, they're white people.
Dear white people, stop acting like
to cure racism is to adopt the black baby or send money to Africa. Your money could be well more spent in the homeland than overseas. That's more racist to give your money to Africa than to spend it here, because it's like saying I'd rather the niggas in Africa have my money than the niggas in America. That's pretty much what you say. Dear white people, stop acting like because you have black friends or a black boyfriend or a black girlfriend, that means that you're not racist. It is more racist to point these things out than to just shut your mouth and leave well enough alone. I got a black boyfriend. I got a black girlfriend. Oh, most of my friends are black. So that makes you a racist because you just don't see friends. You see black friends. They just can't be friends. Lastly, they're white people. It does not hurt. You will not die. The world will not end if you say excuse me. You're standing in line, and white people will stand there like a Statue of Liberty trying to get their cart through the aisle rather than say excuse me. Or they'll play limbo, how low can you go, to try to get under and over the person in front of them because they just don't want to say excuse me. Dear black people, Green.
Dear black people, don't get scared and don't get very aggravated when driving an Uber. One time I was working in Uber and I went to McDonald's Mall of all places. I hated going to McDonald's Mall. Anyway, I was picking up this person, and it was a girlfriend ordered the Uber, but the boyfriend came to the car. And as soon as he came to the car, he shouted at me, "It's you! It's you!" And he picked up close up on the face, "It's you! Is this you?" I'm like, "Dude, what's going on?" He's like, it's license. Like, "Dude, I'm not going to hurt you." But chill out. It happened once. This happened twice. And the second time, somebody just videotaped me. I told him, "Stop videotaping me. You know, I'm not going to hurt you. You know, I have a clean record, for Christ's sake. Why did he wait to the thing anyway?" Then we argued back and forth. He said, "Would you take me?" Yes. Then we took the bus. If you think that I'm going to take you somewhere, I'm taking you to destination, Christ's sake, give you a bottle of water, for Christ's sake. Get the bus. You don't to spend your $14 or $5 or $10. Take the bus. It's all simple. Just black people. Stop yelling to your kids and calling them names in front of everybody. One time I was in a mall and I see a mother with four kids, and me and my son was in there, and you see the mother said, "Come on, dumb motherfucker, let's go." And I'm like, whoa. They're grabbing them and all that stuff. Bitch ass. I'm like, come on now. There's other ways to talk to them. Let me talk to kids. Out here. No. That person's going to grow up to become very hostile towards you when you get older. And you don't want that to happen. But sometimes black people, black lovers, are doing that for some reason. Dear black people, don't stop cleaning everything that's not worse. You know, because the white man cleans it doesn't mean you got to take it back and make it yours. Okay? But still, I'm figuring out Twitter. Now it's calling Black Twitter. Because somebody said some negative comments on here about white people, which is okay. I don't give a shit. But why always gotta claim everything that is ours? Because the white man took it away from us. The white man made it. I'll claim everything. Okay? And that's my segment, but we got a caller. Caller, what is your name? Welcome to Baldwin Talking Live. What is your name and where you're calling from?
My name is Jean Phillips, and I'm calling from Baltimore. I have a comment.
Hey, Jean.
Hi. I have a comment that everybody always talks about Donald Trump. Is this and Donald Trump is that. Some of the things Donald Trump is true, and he's just saying the things that most people are afraid to say. And another thing is people talk about welfare, black people on welfare, white people on welfare. You have 30% more whites on welfare than they are black. And as far as people getting along as far as racism, there'll never be equality between the races because there's always going to be a difference. No matter how we always say that we're going to be fair and equal, we're not. You look at each other and you see a difference in their mind. You see a different person. So it's never going to be where it's going to be equality. Never, never. Because we are not the same color. Our actions are different. We do things different. We talk different. What we do, everyday life is different. So it's never going to be equality as far as black and white. That's my comment. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for your comments. I agree with you. That's, you know, people take that very seriously.
Well, black people can't make a change for racism. No way. Only a majority can.
Yeah.
So as long as they consider the white people to be the majority, they always going to have the system. They got this thing in Congress called a Senate Minority Leader. Even he's a white man. So you can't even have a black man be minority leader.
Why do they have that position anyway? That was a stupid position to have.
So that people are represented and they don't jump them down and say, we're not represented. You see, they got all of these Mexicans in Congress. And I say yet again, that's more insult to injury. Because if you don't belong here, you want to put the Mexicans in office, but fight for you that don't belong. And if we say you don't belong here, that doesn't mean that you're being prejudiced or you're being racist. If you don't have papers to be, everybody here has Social Security cards. That means you belong here because it's given to you from the United States Department of Social Security. And is assigned to you with a United States government birth certificate with the seal of your state that you were born in, with your mom, dad, if present, and your hospital, city, and state place of birth. We don't have a place called Guatemala, Honduras, Mexico, San Fernando. We don't have none of these places as a city or state. In America. These people come over here on passports, then passports expire, you don't want to go home. It's just like an amusement park. If I'm going to the amusement park and the amusement park closes because the time has expired for me to be there, do I have a right to just stay there and keep riding rides because I feel like it? No. My time here has expired. Come back when you get it renewed another time, another day, and then come back and ride some more rides. That's simple. But when it comes to other people, they can't seem to follow rules. They don't have to follow rules, and nobody's going to enforce the rules. said, let it be a black man. I remember like it was yesterday, Vice President Al Gore took his foot and kicked the boat off the shore of the New York Pier, which is where people can enter for asylum by the Statue of Liberty, Liberty Island, took his foot and kicked the boat off the shore because he didn't want the Haitians to come here for asylum. But you're going to take the Ileon Gonzalez boy, who's a Cuban baby, and rescue him, which is still taking children from their families. And when you come find out that the woman who came here with that boy was one of the wives of Fidel Castro, or they hurried up and sent him back on the boat.
Wow.
They don't want no war with Fidel. So she pretty much was committing a crime. She can go, just like he said, you can go, but my children stay here. And they okay, so we made a mistake. They sent the baby right back over on a United States Coast Guard escort. So why couldn't the Haitians come to America? Because they was looked at as being black, and they already had too many blacks here. They didn't want them to come to America. And this is on national television. But you want me to vote for the Democrats that are doing this foolishness on national television. The same guy that talked about the global warming and sat back and stabbed the president in the back. You're the vice president. So if the president dirty, you got to be dirty too, because it's a team. He want to step on the backs of a fallen man behind this Lewinsky stuff to try to bolster his case for running for president. No. Because then you're backstabbing your own running mate. What more will you do to become president? What would you do for a Klondike bar? You know, it's crazy.
Wow.
So let me get two Ask Dr. Q questions out the way, then we can go to what's new in Baltimore. This comes from Mikhail Mukhnovic. Mikhail Mukhnovic. All right. That's a good name. Good one. Hit the sound that one out. It says, Dear Dr. Q, I listen to your show as often as I can. I am not a U.S. citizen, but I love your take on politics. Can you please expand? Can you please expand on the Pizzagate scam? I don't know. Expand. Expand.
I think you mean they tell more.
Okay. There's not much to it. The people who own Subway restaurants are called the doctors. They're not real doctors. They're just called the doctors and associates. And they are nutritionists and stuff like that. And they come out with the plan of oats, grains, and how many grams of this and that. They put the diet together to make these Subway restaurants. When they need a person to fall back on, they saw this fat guy named Jared. what Jared did for a living before he became face of Subway. He was a blogger, and he was in this blog that they typed in code. Through typing in code, he got connected with other top class celebrities and millionaires who also go to these same blogs and type on things. And it's called Tor, T-O-R. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to access it. From what the lawyers have said, they said it's best for me not to ask no questions or get involved in it. I say, well, give me a synonym closest to explain what it is. And they said it's the dark web. So it's not illegal to go to the dark web, but you need a Tor, T-O-R, a Tor browser. So these are all terms and technologies for white people and brainiacs that into that HTML code and stuff of writing. So they don't write words. The sentences that look like words are actually saying something else. For example, if you were to say, throw my mother from the train, you're not actually saying you want somebody to grab your mom and throw her from a moving vehicle. You're naming a movie, because Throw My Mama from the Train was named the movie. But only the person who you're talking to will be able to decipher what that phrase or what that sentence means. So it's like a high-level functioning brainiac zone. While with Subway, as the face of Subway and showing how he ate Subway every day, he lost all this weight, blah, 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 he still continued on this tour before it was publicly known like it is now. And people would talk about food. And the word for food is actually a freak. A freak is a person who is a sexual deviant that's into any type of positions, any type of fetishes. We were just talking about fetishes yesterday. Anyway, the Pizzagate scandal was when they were talking about pizza. And this might be before a lot of your time, but there was a character. Before Little Orphan Annie, there was a character who looked like Little Orphan Annie, but she was skinny and tall, and she had pigtails. Her name was Pippi Longstock. The first word, Pippi, last name, Longstock. So that was just a fictitional character. Pippi pizza is what people would think as pepperoni pizza, but it's not. There's no such thing as a Pippi pizza. You go to the store and say, can I get a Pippi? They might, yes, they're just saying pepperoni, but I know, and you know, that you're not talking about pepperoni. There's no abbreviation for pepperoni, just unless you're going to say Roni, but then you can't say that because then it will slate the obvious. Bobby Brown had a song called Tenderoni. She's my Roni. Pepper Roni. She's my Roni. Roni in love. Friend with benefit. So it was alleged, and I'm going to say alleged for legal purposes, it was alleged that Hillary Clinton wrote an email asking her hairdresser, can you find me a pepperoni that's easy on the eyes? Now, if you're asking your hairdresser for a pizza, why would you have to go through the extra effort of erasing it, deleting it, scrubbing it off the server, making sure it's not found because it's against the rules to send personal emails using the government server? Okay. Simple slap on the wrist, don't do it again. Send a personal email. But because it was a coded message, which could look like you're having a conversation with the Russians, or it could look like, and only reason being that it's a coded message is because it went into Tor. Had she not accessed Tor on the government server, it would not have been flagged. Tor, you had to have a Tor browser and a Tor site to enter through the gateway. So, yeah, that went to a red flag. Especially with all the hackers coming the back doors to hack the White House, that was flagged right away. They said, well, who did it, Secretary Clinton? And Donald Trump kept hitting on it because he wanted the FBI to look into it. Did he look into it? No. They got together with Bernie Sanders this last election before the White House, for the run for the White House, and they got together and did a duo where they seemed like they teamed up together just for him to sit out the sidelines and left her and Trump to go head to head, knowing full well it was going to be Trump. And who was Trump versus Bernie, that might have been a spectacle to see. There's a clip on YouTube, which I can't give it to you, where Chelsea Clinton, the daughter, had a rant and rage. This is when her father got impeached, Bill Clinton, which was her father, got impeached at the White House. And her mom was telling her to calm down. And she says, quote, my mom can't tell me to calm down and can't tell me about family when she's doing what she wants to do behind my daddy's back. My father had no choice but to do what he did because my mom's never around when she's with all of these other people. And then when you read the comments, someone wrote, what other people? And Chelsea responded, my mom likes women. And after I saw that, I said, oh, she dyke. Even if you're bisexual, I still call it dyke. Then that went into ripple effect and went downhill with Jared getting exposed, dealing with these children, which he got a slap on the wrist because the law is written. See, the funny thing with the law. The law is written to protect the children from the predator. There is no way to protect the predator from the children. In other words, if you reverse the action, make the child the aggressor because they had a the children were already set up, whatever this child trafficking thing is. The children were already in the room at the hotel before Jared checked in. So you can't say he had malicious intent because they were already there. So they just said, okay, you're going to register this child registry, sex offender, sex predator, whatever, registry for 7 years. If there's no further contact, we'll take you off. But in the meantime, you'll no longer be the face of Subway. And he took the deal. Anything is better than jail time. So he's still in prison of social society, but I'm sure he can't get a job because wherever he goes, they're going to look at him as Jared, the pedophile. So that's Pizzagate. I would suggest you just go Google Pizzagate. Go to YouTube and go to Pizzagate code, and it'll the Pizzagate code, and it'll give you words and phrases that signify other things. Before they take it down, they take things down like every 3 months. they have this thing called web crawlers that scrub various references and links. At the same time, there's caches that send them and save them elsewhere. So, there you have it. So, what's happening in Baltimore? What's new in Baltimore, Greg?
What's happening in Baltimore for the month of August? It is Baltimore Jazz Festival and Wine Tasting. That will be August 10th at the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. Ephraim Festival is going to be in August 10th through Sunday 11th at Joy Hill Park. August 9th, there'll be music, soul, festival, wine tasting. It's Old Baltimore. That's at 900 Gary Street. The Moonrise Festival will be a Pinnacle Race Course on August 10th. Through August 11th. The Be More Barbecue and Brew will be at August 19th at Rush Field at 201 Key Highway. And let me set one here. That's it. For tomorrow's show, we will got your birthday shout outs and announcements. And I guess in a hot seat will be Maniko Taylor.
Ayoko.
Ayoko Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
He is a celebrity personal development coach, and also he has a podcast. That'd be interesting to talk to us about. We're also a best-selling author, entrepreneur. We want to talk about that in the hot seat. And as I mentioned today, tomorrow will be, did you know, Jackie Mom Mosley? Jackie Mom Mosley?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. And we're in Baltimore. And what's
Mabley, not Mosley. Mabley. Ain't no F there.
Oh, Mabley. I'm sorry. Turn to dry. Mabley. Any more of this tasty goodness, you go to BaltimoreBeMoreTalk.org. There's BeMoreTalk.org. There you find our website on, check our stuff on demand, past, present episodes. You check out what's about us, and also our show schedule. What's coming in and what's coming out. That's all on BeMoreTalk.org. Unscripted, unrehearsed, real people, real talk. We'll be every weekday at 7 p.m. to 8:30 or whatever, because we always go 7:30 to 7 o'clock until whenever time. But that is when we're getting good and everything is here. There's BeMoreTalk.org. Real people, real talk, unrehearsed, unscripted.
Or crown salt.
Okay, final thoughts. I want to thank our guests. for coming in there, Ms. Deborah Cooper, giving all this advice and her advice and comments. And something hurt me about that, you know, like, you know, all guys think evil. Some guys are good. No hate on Miss Deborah Cooper or whatever. She's a very awesome woman. I just listened to three episodes of her stuff on YouTube. But I'm not being female bashing here about the stuff that she does and everything else. I'm gonna give my little final parts. You know, some guys are good guys out there, and some good guys, can't find love or a good woman. And, you know, I tell them, like, you know, there's always love out there to go by. You know, never give up on it. You know, yes, there are some females that are total asses and get their way around things. And, you know, that's sometimes not cool. You know, when a girl is rejected, she basically throw a drink at the guy. This is when I think me and my wife started the club, and she would talk to the girl, and basically, you know, she rejected her, but she liked her, and he liked him. And she liked her, so she threw a drink at him. And walk away. And, you know, that was not right, you know. And come with rejection, you know. Don't get rejected. You know, there's always somebody for everybody. And everybody needs to be patient. You know, there's always one coming. When another door opens, another door closes, another door opens. And, you know, people get, take pride in that. Take valuable in that. You know, because always a light coming around the corner. And also, by the way, Happy Taco Tuesday. My son said Happy Taco Tuesday. But anyway, that's my final thoughts of what I learned from today.
Or happy T-Mobile Tuesday. You know, just happen to have tacos.
Yes. Okay. You want to close it out, or anything you want to add before you go?
Yeah, I can close it out. No, but make sure you all tune in 7 p.m. Mr. Mayoko Taylor will be in the hot seat, you know, so the ladies can throw their phone numbers and their panties at him. Phone number again, 917-889-8825. If you have any questions, suggestions, or type of topics or comments about the show or things to add to the show, you can send an email to our producers or to general mailbox at info@bemoretalk.org. info@bemoretalk.org. I'm so glad we had this time together. We have a laugh and sing a song. Since we just got started, before you know it, comes a time we have to say so long. So say so long, Green.
So everybody, take care.
And that's our show, folks. Good night. Lord, you're beautiful.
come to me,